Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/RedCircle, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/RedCircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/RedCircle.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. I promise you guys on the show tonight, you're going to get one. How about that? It'll be Saturday morning wherever you are, and Bulldogs are now 1-0 in the Charlottesville Regional. What an exciting day of baseball it proved to be. And, of course, your Bulldogs emerged victorious. So we're going to talk a little bit about the ball game that we played. We're going to talk a little bit about the game we're about to play. We're also going to take a look back at the day that was in baseball and look ahead to tomorrow. Pretty wild day. Really good day if you're a Bulldog, too. Not just because the Bulldogs won, but in many respects, too, we're kind of vindicated because some of the teams that we were passed over for lost to 4 seeds. And really, really excited about that. The second best thing has happened today. Mississippi State winning its first, and then seeing East Carolina and Arizona lose. That's just kind of the icing on the cake, right? Really happy for Dakota Jordan tonight. Happy for your Bulldogs. Got to meet so many of you milling around Charlottesville. Hope that we have a big crowd tomorrow night. Be a lot of orange and blue, for sure, in the stands. But I covered that game with Penn. We're going to talk a little bit about that, kind of some observations that I've picked up from watching those guys. I'll also cover the St. John's versus Penn game in the afternoon. And I think an interesting comment about that. I wasn't on the seating chart for game one. And, of course, there were some seats available, and I took one. And so I got ready to leave tonight. And I went to the UVA baseball SID. Great guy. Great guy. And said, hey, look, hey, can you put me on the seating chart tomorrow for Penn and for St. John's? He goes, yeah, it's going to be pretty much wide open because they don't have anybody here. And he goes, hey, can you do me a favor? I said, sure. He goes, will you go to the postgame press conference? I said, well, I always do. And he goes, I'm afraid if you don't go, we won't have anybody. Let that sink in for a second. You got young people out here competing for a chance to go play for a national championship. And nobody is here to cover the team. It's just weird to me. You know, obviously, you know, baseball is a big deal for us. We commit a lot of time and resources to cover Mississippi State baseball for all of you. You guys invest your emotional energy, your finances, and you come cheer for your team. And you expect there to be media coverage. If you can't make it, you expect there to be some eyes and ears and some boots on the ground. And to think that the Mississippi State guy is going to have to go in there and ask questions of Penn and St. John's, and I'm going to go do it because I'm not just here for the free hot dogs, right? I'm here to cover college baseball. But I began to think about that, and I spoke to the bride about that as well. I can't begin to imagine what that would feel like, you know, for the loser of that game, right? The winner is going to get a chance to continue to play on, right? And it's interesting, too, there were so many questions in the Penn press conference, you know, but with, hey, isn't UVA great? You know, what do you think about this? Isn't this lineup great? You know, and I think to myself, you know, these guys at Penn have worked extremely hard to get to this point. Yeah, they won their league tournament. And then they go in there and all the questions are about UVA, not about them. And so we had kind of an abbreviated press conference with St. John's tonight, and doing all this in the Faulkner home, which is kind of cool, to be honest with you. Sit in William Faulkner's house and be able to ask questions of student-athletes and coaches, pretty cool thing. But think about this for a second. The loser of that St. John's Penn game, for many of them, it's the last time they're ever going to play a competitive ball game. I mean, one that really matters. I mean, they may go play some summer league ball or something like that. But their college, somebody's college career is ending tomorrow. Right? It's true. Someone's college career is ending. And to think that nobody from their hometown paper or a website out there or somebody involved with college baseball wouldn't be there to document that, it's absolutely sad to me. I mean, it truly is. And so we're going to go. And we're going to ask questions. I don't know if I publicized many of those, but at least, you know, for the people back home that'll get a chance to watch that NCAA feed, they'll have a chance to see the player or players and coach that's representing their program have a chance to talk about the ball game. So, yes, I will be there. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. I got done opening the posting the Boneyard around 3 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. And thought I was in a pretty good position curtain-wise around here. And then about 7:30 this morning, the old sun comes creeping through the curtain there because there was a corner there that I didn't cover. So your good friend and host got about 4 hours sleep, and we'll do a little bit better tomorrow. But all that understood, I love doing this. I love being here for you. I love being able to sit here and talk about Mississippi State baseball, and I love to be able to see the smile on the faces of these players after a big win like that. And as we're leaving, Lamonis and Dakota Jordan and Cal Steven are on the golf cart. Travis, our SID, and Lamonis kind of joked with me, and he goes, "Hey, I didn't know if you'd be here. I hadn't seen you around." I said, "Coach, where else would I be? My boys are playing, you know." And that's how I feel about it, you know. And you know, it's been a while, you know, since we've been in the postseason, and it's good to be back. It's good to get a win. So let's take some time and talk about it. Before we do, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. They don't have one here, not yet. If they did, I would go eat there tomorrow. But I love the fact that we have those in Mississippi. I love Mississippi first, right? I love our entrepreneurs around the state. I love the fact that the Eat With Us group has fed us and our families for so many years. And Bulldog Burger Company, I got so many friends, and say, man, that's my kids' favorite place to eat. If I ever ask them where they want to eat, it's always Bulldog Burger Company. You probably got some Bulldog Burger Company fans in your family. You do. So go nourish them at one of the great locations, University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. I was a fan of theirs before they were a fan of mine. Love being a partner, Bulldog Burger Company. Go in, have the spring rolls as your appetizer. You'll be glad you did. They make you and everybody around you better looking. Make the world a more beautiful place by enjoying those spring rolls. And then get a great restaurant quality hamburger. You can get a hamburger almost anywhere, but not at the quality you're going to get at Bulldog Burger Company. And if you're going to go out to eat, you may as well enjoy it. You're going to do that at Bulldog Burger Company. You can have an adult beverage. Mom can have a glass of wine. The kids can have chocolate shakes to go. Everybody can have Shipley's bread pudding for dessert. It's a win-win-win for everybody. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, let's break down this game. It's always so fun to win, right? It's so great to win. I mean, honestly, it's great to win. And Cal Steven was absolutely outstanding tonight. He deserved to get the victory, but it, you know, just didn't work out that way. But he pitched winning baseball for us, and for a long time, he was really the story of this game. And yeah, I give Cole Hoser a lot of credit, too. And they pronounce it a little bit differently, but we're going to go with the South Mississippi pronunciation. You had two guys out there really pitching well. You did. And somebody had to lose. And both teams only use two pitchers, you know, so everybody's in pretty good shape for tomorrow. But, you know, Cal gets right to work, man. Gets Tuck, the leadoff hitter, to strike out looking. Scavelli then pops up to the third baseman. And then Mayberry flies out to center. Those last two outs come on one pitch. Yeah. One pitch at bats. That's pitch efficiency for you right there. Bottom of one, Chance flies out the center. DeMarshawn walks. Jordan on the fielder's choice. And it's so tough to double up DJ. And unfortunately, we couldn't make him pay for it here. Hines grounds out the second. And so we get through the first inning. Bulldogs, get a couple runners on base, no more than one at a time there. But the Cal's like, it's okay, fellas. I got you. Top of second, it's a 1-2-3 inning again. It gets Keenan to strike out swinging. And I really thought this, and I asked Cal this specifically in postgame, I thought this was a statement at bat. Keenan is their best player. And it's like, all right, big boy, you want to dance? Let's dance. And we didn't throw anything but fastballs. We just kind of worked in and out, up and down, and kind of shoved where he was uncomfortable and got him to strike out swinging. Nothing but fastballs. Filthy. And then Higgins fouls out the right field. I think that ball was actually fair. They call it a foul either way DJ has it. The out goes in the books either way. And then Orban strikes out swinging. So 1-2-3 inning for Cal. So through two innings there, nothing doing for St. John's. Bottom of second, State has some opportunities here. Hizak flies out to right, and then Imani Larry walks. Kind of an interesting discussion here where the pitcher kept going to his mouth, and he got warned about that. And then, when you go to your mouth, you have to wipe. And a lot of times it's difficult to even check that. But they award a ball to Imani Larry, and then lo and behold, two pitches later, he's on base. And then Logan Kohler homers to left center. Oppo Taco, you've seen Logan working the other way a lot here as of late. And mainly it's just kind of been, ground balls to kind of go against the shift there. He's kind of making people pay for that. He absolutely tattooed this ball tonight, guys. And Logan with a great night, kind of overshadowed by the heroics there in the 10th inning. But I think it's important to commend Logan. That's six home runs on the year. We were hoping he would be a double-digit home run guy. He still may. Aaron Downs in singles to center field. Just kind of muscles that ball. Just kind of fists that thing over the top of everybody. And then Powell grounds into a double play. But now it's a 2-0 ball game. And you feel like, okay, maybe that's going to be enough. Turns out that it wasn't. But it felt that way at the time. You're like, the way Cal is shoving, we got a chance here. Make this thing stand up. And what do you want? After you put up a crooked number, you want a clean inning. We get one here. Keenan strikes out swinging. Again, I don't guess I've updated here. Let's see if we can't get over there. He didn't bat back-to-back innings. I think they've got a mistake here. I think. It's not my mistake. I think it's their mistake. But let me update here. We'll refresh together. Because we didn't get Keenan to lead off the second and third. So we'll see. You think these things would always be so easy? They're not. They're not easy. And so now all of a sudden we've got, the computer has an issue. Oh, we have to log back into to Wi-Fi. How cool is that? Just all of a sudden they just automatically, log out of Wi-Fi. Well, thanks, guys. Appreciate that. Appreciate that very much. Fortunately for all of us, I remember my password that you guys gave me on my little card, when I checked in. Just a mile away from campus. And I'll tell you, if you've never been to Virginia, it is an absolutely beautiful campus. I mean, it truly is. I've always heard that. I've been to Virginia several times. But this campus is outstanding, guys. It really, really is. It truly is. All right, top of third. We get Beauchamp to pop up to the pitcher. How often do you see that happen? It actually happened twice in the same ball game for each pitcher. Orban and flies out the center. And Brianza singles down the third base line. And he decides he's going to take second base. And Bryce Chance is like, yeah, I don't think so, bro. Throws him out at second. It really wasn't close. Bottom of third. And, of course, through three innings where we've given up a hit, we faced a minimum. Bottom of the third, Chance flies out to right. Marshawn then singles to center field. Good to see Dave kind of getting going again here. Jordan strikes out swinging on three pitches. And the third one really wasn't a good swing. He kind of swung meekly at a fastball up in his own. And then Hines flies out to right field, but hit this ball exceptionally hard. Just not, had a little topspin on it. If he gets a little more loft on that thing, it's a home run. He absolutely hit that baseball hard and nothing to show for it. And it's so interesting, too. Like, the thing about slumps, I look at this Hunter Hines thing. I mean, he's hit some balls hard. He's had kind of a case of the Adam balls. He really has. But fourth inning here, Tucker. Kind of just a slow roller out there to short, and Dave couldn't come up with it. Now, Marshawn will tell you he's got to make that play. And I don't think there's a ground ball to short that David doesn't think he can make a play on, which is one of the things that makes him great. Could have been called an error. I would have called it an infield hit because I think the guy was going to make it either way. Tucker's a leadoff hitter. A guy can really move. But you know, so he hits a little slow roller out there to short. We can't come up with it. It's an infield single. And then we kind of get in some trouble here. Scavelli strikes out swinging. And then Mayberry doubles down the right field line. And really anything that doesn't get in the stands because there's just not much room outside those foul lines is going to be fair. And so Mayberry doubles, and you hold the runner there, and you're thinking, okay, we need a non-productive out. Well, we get it. We get their dog up there, Keenan, and he pops up to the first base, which is a non-productive out. As we discussed on the show, Boneyard listeners are the most informed Mississippi State baseball fans in the country. And it's not just about Bulldog baseball, but because of the fact that you guys understand the game. When you get the non-productive out, and all of a sudden there are two outs, you just have to play for an out. You really don't have to worry about the runners. You just play baseball. You're looking for a routine fly ball, ground ball. We'd love a punch out. And so now all of a sudden the pressure shifts from Cal Steven to Higgins. And give Higgins some credit because on an 0-1 count, he singles that ball back up the middle. Didn't hammer it, just enough to kind of get it out there. And two runs score. Now it's a tie ball game. And you think, man, Cal has pitched so incredibly well. And all of a sudden they get three hits in an inning. And it's a tie ball game. They really strung that thing together. And give them credit. But again, it all starts with just kind of a dribbler to short. And that's not being critical of Dave Marchand. It's just how baseball works. That's the anatomy of an inning. Sometimes you get on base when you don't necessarily earn it. Bottom of four, tie ball game now. Hysack chops it back to the pitcher. He makes a nice play. Larry strikes out swinging. And then Logan Kohler again. Kind of taking advantage of that foul line out there where there's not much room to run. He doubles to right field. And then Downs pops up to the pitcher. Again, you don't expect to see that in every ball game. It happens in to both pitchers over the course of two innings. Both guys catch a little pop-up. Pretty nuts there. All right, top of fifth. Beauchamp grounds out to third. Orban lines out to the second baseman. Neither one of these balls were, I thought, really much danger. The one hit to Kohler was blistered pretty good, but, man, Logan made that look so easy. Where would we be without Logan Kohler glove-wise? I mean, honestly. And then Orban just hits a little soft liner directly to Imani Larry. And then Brienza singles up the middle, and we pick him off. Again, and we kept going over. It's like we picked up something. We kind of maybe we've stolen their signals. I don't know. But we kept throwing over there like we knew they were going to go, and then eventually we catch him leaning and pick him off. And, you know, the rundown goes a little bit longer than it should. It goes three players. But, you know, it goes from pitcher to first to short and back to pitcher. But we get him. It's a caught steal in there. And State's doing a great job. State leads the nation, leads the SEC in pickoffs. Not in our runners being picking off, but on us picking off other runners. And that's, again, a byproduct of the Justin Parker hire. It really is. All right, bottom of five, Powell strikes out swinging. Chance flies out to second. Just kind of a pop fly to short right field. The second baseman gets under it and grabs it. And then Marchand grounds out to second base. So nothing doing for the Bulldogs here. And it kind of started getting a little tense in the ballpark. A lot of you Bulldog fans are sitting there. You're getting a little bit impatient. It's like, you know what? I know these guys won the Big East tournament, but we're Mississippi State. We shouldn't be here toying with these guys, letting them hang around. But lo and behold, that's the situation. They're still in the ballgame. And all of a sudden, St. John starts believing, hey, we can do this thing. All right, Tucker strikes out swinging, and Scavelli doubles to left field. And this was the time I was like, you know what? This is going to be a defining moment in this ballgame. If they get this run in, we may be in trouble. Mayberry flies out to short left, can't advance a runner. And then lo and behold, the big dog comes up again. And Cal, of course, has hammered this guy with fastballs and really got in his kitchen a little bit. And so he gets him to extend on a couple of sliders. And then just when you think it's safe to go back in the water, he hammers that fastball on an 0-2 count right there on the black and gets a call. And so, Keenan, a tough night, you know. And how many times have we seen it where Mississippi State takes your best player away? Bottom of the sixth, Jordan strikes out looking. Heinsohn strikes out swinging, and Hysack grounds out to third base. I thought he had a chance there. Nice play by the third baseman. But, you know, a couple tough strikeouts, you know. It's true. And again, remember the bat before, Hunter absolutely hit one on the screws, just couldn't get under it enough. All right, top of seventh, Higgins strikes out swinging, Orban flies out to center field, and then Beauchamp pops to the second baseman. So really nothing going here. Cal, again, and look, you look up and Cal's still a 94-95. in the seventh. Incredible, man. Bottom of the seventh, Larry flies out to right field. And then Kohler, again, his third extra base hit of the night, doubles to right field and say, okay, we're trying to be a rally starter here. And then down strikes out looking, and it really wasn't a good at bat. You got to find a way to get that ball in play. And then Powell flies out to center field. And so we waste the one-out double there. And I began to wonder, man, is that going to come back to haunt us? Well, you know, no, it didn't. But it took a while to kind of play out. And so Cal's last inning here, and I thought he was outstanding, really found a way to kind of spot up the breaking ball on the change and keep guys off balance. He gets Orban to strike out looking, Brienza strikes out swinging, and then Tucker, just trying to break up the rhythm here, gets a bunt down. I think this ball was actually going to roll foul. We go pick it up, and there's really no play to make there. You know, discretion's a better part of valor. You just got to let that ball roll, and hey, if he beats it, he beats it. If it doesn't go foul, he's beat it, because there's no play there. But, you know, in the heat of the moment, you got to make a decision. But, you know, we get Scavelli to strike out swinging on three pitches. So, inning over. Really, really strong eighth inning for Cal Steven. I think he probably could have gone nine. He certainly wouldn't have pushed him with 10. But 99 pitches on the night for him. And, again, very, very efficient in what he did. And a lot of times that's pitching to contact, just trusting your defense. All right, bottom of the eighth, Chance flies out to center field. Marshawn grounds out to second. And then Jordan strikes out swinging. And you start thinking here, okay, maybe we're going to walk this thing off in the ninth. Steve, you know, at this point, I don't care about the style points. Just give me a W, right? We bring in Tyler Davis. Mayberry grounds out to short. And then Keenan, again, they're big dog. We go right after him. We're not scared of this guy. And he strikes out swinging. Higgins is then hit by the pitch on an 0-2 count. Just kind of a back foot slider there that catches him. And you think, oh, my goodness, how many times have we seen this? But instead, we're like, we're good, guys. We get a ground ball to shortstop and just kind of nonchalance that thing over to second. Amani's there to cover. And now you got a chance to walk it off there in the ninth, and Hunter Hines comes up. The Brahma Bull right there, right? And gets down on the count 1-2, but I thought he hit this ball really well. And it just goes for a single to right field. But he barreled that thing up. And I love the fact that he didn't try to do too much, because how many times have we talked about that, specifically with Dakota and Hunter? It's sometimes we try to hit the home run instead of just kind of taking what they're giving us. Really good job of hitting here. And again, I think you're starting to see Hunter kind of see the baseball a little bit better. Lamona said in postgame he's got his hands all bandaged up because he's been in the cage so much. He's trying to figure this thing out. Hizak then pops up to short, and again, I think we're trying to do too much here, right? I think this was a selfish swing, and I love Connor Hizak to death, and he's been clutch for us, but I think you got to work that a little bit more. Larry then flies out to left, and they bring in Marinero in place of Koholzer. Again, Koholzer was outstanding. He goes 8 2/3 of an inning, and then Marinero gets Kohler to strike out swinging. A guy that's been red hot for us. It's a big out there, lefty versus lefty. And so we go to the 10th here. Of course, this is our final inning, but TD still on the mound. Beauchamp pops up to first, and then Orban singles it off of Davis. And Davis, of course, stays in the ballgame because Tyler Davis is a ball player. He takes one practice pitch just to make the trainer feel good, and he was fine. He's tough. He may feel it in the morning, but he's tough. Brienza then pops up to short right field, and Amani gets under it. Runner can't advance, and he actually still second, third. He's still second here. And then Tucker flies out to left. And so lengthy at bat there. You get to a full count, and we're able to get him to just kind of sky one out there to left center. Ball really doesn't carry out here at night, which makes his 10th inning all the more important. All right, so Aaron Downs hits an absolute smash to third base, and it goes off of him into foul territory, so it's an infield single, and that ball was absolutely crushed. And then Joe Powell, the catcher, comes up, sack bunts, even with everybody knowing he's going to bunt, he gets it down. Michael O'Brien's pinch running, Mike gets the second. So now all of a sudden you got Mike O'Brien, one of your fastest players in scoring position. At this point, anything in fair territory, you got a chance to score. Chance then grounds out to the shortstop. O'Brien takes third on the play, and you're thinking, hey, we'll take a pass ball, we'll take a base hit, whatever. And they intentionally walk Dave Mershon to get to Dakota Jordan. Now, Mike Hampton, coach from St. John's, said in postgame, his opening comments, is it was my mistake, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have walked Mershon. And I thought, you know, Mershon's a switch hitter. We kind of know what we're getting here with Dakota Jordan. And let's be honest, Dakota struggled a lot here as of late. Yeah, even again, Ole Miss, he hit the ball well, but most of the time at Hoover, it was kind of a guessing game. And give St. John some credit that they had some opportunities to fold, and they were able to get DJ and Hunter. And so they elect to roll the dice here, and DJ makes him pay on a 2-2 count. It really wasn't a great pitch, but it also kind of shows the strength of Dakota Jordan. That ball's running in on him, and he's able to get the bat hat out just enough to push that thing over the wall, and it's a walk-off three-run bomb. I know that it was reported on SEC Network. It was two. It was not. It was a three-run bomb because Michael O'Brien was on base, as was David Mershon, and those runs still count, you know, in the rules of baseball. If you're on base when the home run goes over the fence, those runs count. I know that there's some new money people that are involved in broadcasting, but nevertheless, it was a three-run home run, and Mississippi State walks it off 15-7. Now, go back and look here at some numbers.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Granger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
We got to get Bryce Chance going. We really do. And, you know, Bryce is putting the ball in play. He's not striking out. But that batting average is now dipped under 280. He's hitting now 275. We got to get him going. And there was a time there that Bryce was almost, you know, you couldn't even pitch to the guy. Mershon goes 1-for-3 and also has a couple of walks. So he's starting to get on base again. And I agree with Lamonis, too. You go back to the lineup. It's worked for you all year. I think when you tinker with guys and it's like all of a sudden you get into a rhythm, it's like, okay, I'm always hitting after David. Anytime David grabs a bat, I grab one too. And then all of a sudden, oh, well, now we're two spots behind David. It gets in guys' heads. Dakota Jordan goes 1-for-5. Of course, the home run, three-run shot, but he struck out three times. Still hitting 336, but he was hitting 370 here about 2 weeks ago. Hines goes 1-for-4, and again, he hit a couple balls really, really well. I only had the one strikeout, but his batting average dipped a little bit too. We, again, got to get him going. If we're going to get to Omaha, we got to have both of those guys help carry the load there. Connor Hyzak, a guy that's been red hot for us, goes 0-for-4. Amani Larry 0-for-3 with a walk and a run scored. Logan Kohler, you know, again, your most consistent player at the plate here, goes 3-for-4. He has the one strikeout there late, but two doubles, the dinger, and a run scored. Aaron Downs goes 2-for-4. He hit as your DH tonight. And, again, he fisted that ball to center, and he hit a smash at third. You know, maybe you ride with that tomorrow. You know, we'll see. And then, of course, O'Brien scores a run by being on base on the big fly there. Pitching, that was really the story for a while. And, again, it kind of gets lost in the discussion because of the heroics there in the final inning. But we're not even in that position without the great effort of Cal Steven. Eight innings pitch. He scattered seven hits. Of course, he had three in that one inning. Allowed two runs, 10 Ks, no walks. And think about the walks we had last year. Yeah, I mean, we couldn't go play a game without having, you know, half a dozen walks at a minimum. And then you go out there in a regional tonight and you go 10 innings and you don't walk anybody. It's nuts. And like you had that one hit by pitch where you just kind of got loose there. But 10 innings tonight, Bulldogs scatter eight hits, allow two runs, 11 strikeouts, no walks. Allowed two extra base hits. That's it. And then 13 flyouts. As we discussed on the show, when Cal Steven is at his best, it's routine fly balls and strikeouts. He is just not a ground ball pitcher because he likes to use that, you know, the ride and slide, basically. He likes to elevate that fastball and have you just kind of get under the ball and pop that thing up. So 10 flyouts and 10 strikeouts. So 20 of the outs that were recorded by Kyle Steven on his 99-pitch outing are of that variety. He had just two ground outs. That's it. Again, that's when he's on his game. And Tyler Davis gets the win, 6-1 now in the year. If I had told you at the beginning of the year that Tyler Davis would have six wins in the middle of regional play, you'd never believe it. Two innings pitch, the one hit, 1K, the one hit by pitch. But, yeah, good effort. And he's gotten to be just downright filthy. He truly has. And that's your ballgame. It is. That's your ballgame. Let's move ahead and kind of look at what happened around the SEC. This portion of the show brought to you by closewithblair.com, C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend. That's right. In the mortgage industry. Blair's a great guy. Blair's a guy that's been doing this for 23 years. A lot of people out there want your business. They have. And it's true. Everybody wants the business, right? But if you're going to do business with a business person. That's Blair Chandler. 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Be sure and check out Blair's 23 years of experience. Whether you're looking for a game day condo, maybe that's more affordable than you think. At least look into it. You owe it to yourself to say, you know what, can we pull this off and still be comfortable? Because Blair maybe have a creative plan and some things maybe perhaps you haven't thought about to enable that dream to become a reality. Or maybe you're looking to kind of start life for the first time. You maybe want to buy a house, buy a condo. It's, instead of throwing your money away renting a place, you know, put your money in a home or a condo. You know, something that you can build up some equity. And Blair can help walk you through that. And again, 601-500-2344. All right, let's look around. We'll start with the SEC. And again, very happy that ECU lost. If I mentioned that, really happy that ECU lost. A team that had absolutely no business hosting. And I'm going to be honest with you, and this may hurt some feelings. Guys, for those of you that have tried to defend that decision, you can stop. Okay, you're never going to convince me. Now, if you want to sit here and say, you know what, Steve, Indiana State deserved to host, I could get behind that. Even if you said, hey, you know, Steve, Duke won the ACC tournament. I know facility-wise they're not great, but those guys deserve to host over us. I could even say, you know what, you're probably right. As much as I hate to admit that, that's true. You're not going to convince me that Arizona and ECU should have hosted, especially ECU. At least with Arizona, I can say, you know what? They won their league. They won their league tournament. They're playing really good baseball right now. I could get behind that. But you cannot defend this ECU thing. I know many of you have tried, and I think there's some people that are just contrarians out there, and it's like, well, you know, we got to find a way to blame Mississippi State. They're just more deserving than we are. They absolutely are not more deserving than us, and the only reason, in my estimation, in my opinion, that they got us a hosting spot is because John Gilbert, their AD, was on the committee. It's a joke. It is. And they lost to Evansville, a team that we beat three times. And it's so funny. That was one of the things that they mentioned. Well, we compared comparable opponents. We only had one opponent in common, and that was Memphis. We went 2-0 against them. They went 3-0. And now a team that we went 3-0 against is now 1-0 against ECU. If I mentioned how happy I am that ECU has lost, have I mentioned that? And, of course, Arizona loses to Grand Canyon. So two schools that I don't think should have hosted are beaten by four seeds. Great job, committee. Great job. Great job. And don't tell me it's just baseball. Don't use a Ron Polk signature comment to try to get me to be quiet and calm down. It's not going to happen. You're going to wear it, okay? You're going to wear it. And I think it's also ironic, too, that some people in the National College Baseball media said, oh, well, Dallas Baptist deserves to host. Well, guess who Arizona's going to play an elimination game tomorrow? Oh, yeah, Dallas Baptist, right? So somebody that the National College Baseball media and or the committee that was absolutely enamored with these programs is going to see one of their schools go home tomorrow. And don't sit here and tell me, well, that's just baseball. No, it's not. It's nepotism. It's what it is. And it's karma. And you're getting it in spades, and I'm very happy about it. All right, look at the SEC. Kentucky, a bit of a tussle here with the four seed themselves. And guys, this Western Michigan team is not bad. And there's not any bad teams still playing baseball. We need to understand that. Like some of our people I see in the Facebook groups, and sometimes I'll be honest with you guys, as much as I love so many of you in those Facebook groups, Guys, we got to get a handle on this stuff, man. I mean, it's like there's some people that have these most outlandish, off-the-wall takes, man. It's like St. John's is a terrible team. God, they won the Big East. I mean, come on. It's not the Big East. It's not a great baseball conference. But goodness, to act like they're just some scrub. Guys, did you look at the scores? Everybody has an ace. Everybody. And for those mid-major teams, they know they're not going to win a regional. They know this. But they're thinking, hey, if we can go in there and win a game or two, kind of makes our season. Not to mention with the transfer portal and all the way that it is. You go out there and you make a Power 5 team look silly at the plate, your phone may start ringing. You know, I mean, there's a lot involved in all this stuff. But Kentucky, again, a bit of a challenge with the Broncos. They get them. You know, Kentucky gets them. But, man, this thing was a wild game. And Kentucky gets up early. And you think, oh, Kentucky's going to mercy rule these guys. This thing is going to be over. It's pretty nuts, man. It's an 8-0 ball game. And then Western Michigan gets 5 in the fifth. Kentucky answers with a couple. And then Western Michigan gets 3 more in the sixth. And Kentucky posts zeros the rest of the way. And they win the game 10-8. Western Michigan with 3 errors in the ballgame, too. You'd probably like to have that back. But congratulations to Minge and those guys in the winner's bracket. Coastal Carolina absolutely embarrassed Vanderbilt. And Tim Corbin decided to throw JD. You know, JD, of course, of the sunscreen scandal against Florida. Remember that? And he was suspended. He got absolutely rocked. And Coastal Carolina, again, a team that was kind of considered a bubble team, they get in and they take down Vandy. So I'm sure the AD at Coastal is like, see, I told you guys. And so congratulations to the Chanticleers. It's not a great Vanderbilt team, as we guys know. I think they may have shot their wad there at Hoover. But you know, Vandy now in a loser's bracket game. And so Wofford gave LSU all they wanted and then some. Guys, it was a 2-0 ball game into the seventh. LSU scores, and then Wofford answers right back in the top half of the eighth. Not in the fifth, in the eighth. It's a 3-1 ball game, and LSU gets a couple solo home runs, one from Bramlett, one from Jacoby Jones, to tie the game, and they walk it off there in the ninth. We mentioned, you know, Wofford's a pretty good offensive team that actually out-hit LSU by 7-6. A&M, kind of a business-like approach here. 7 runs in the second. They just kind of coast to an 8-0 victory over Grambling. Grambling, of course, winners of the SWAC, 26-27 overall, and they'll play an elimination game tomorrow. Army gave Georgia, and again, Army's got a rep on the committee too, and Army jumps out to a 2-0 lead. And then Georgia answers, it's 2-1. And then third inning, what do you know? Army scores 2 more again. Now it's a 4-1 ball game. And then Georgia answers. And ultimately, Georgia gets the win 8-7. It was a pretty crazy game. 22 hits. Christian Maracna pitched, too. If you remember Maracna, he was the guy the A&M folks were alleging of malfeasance, that he was doctoring his glove. You saw the breakdown out there on Twitter, I'm sure. I mentioned to you guys that James Madison was a team that went into Fayetteville and beat Arkansas, and they weren't to be taken lightly. And South Carolina, obviously, was a team that you know, we saw last week in Hoover really kind of come to their own a little bit. Guys, James Madison forced South Carolina to score 2 in the ninth to force extra innings. James Madison was cruising to a victory here. It's a 7-5 ball game in the ninth. South Carolina scores a couple runs, forces extra innings, and they walk it off of the 10th, 8-7. A wild game, and, of course, South Carolina booted the ball around a little bit. They had some bad defensive lapses in Hoover, too, which is interesting. Nevertheless, South Carolina wins, and at this point of the year, that's all it's about. It's not about style points. It's about who wins, who loses. Florida, a tussle early with Nebraska, and I told you guys, don't be surprised if Nebraska makes this thing a game. They do. And Florida, with a run in the eighth and a run in the ninth to kind of put some separation between them and Nebraska, they win 5-2. They out-hit the Cornhuskers 14-8. Let's talk about this wild game out in Arkansas. Guys, I told you guys that Arkansas is the most vulnerable of top eights. I think that got proved today, too. And as Ani told me, he said, yo, Arkansas had to empty the clip today. And they absolutely did. Arkansas gets up 8-0 in this ball game. And you think, you know what, this thing, they're just going to cruise, baby. You know, they threw Molina, trying to throw off today. to get the dub. And next thing you know, guys, Southeast has scored four in the third. And you're like, And then in the fifth, they tie it. It's 8-8 in the fifth. Give Arkansas some credit. They come back and answer. It's a 10-8 ball game. And then in the seventh, Southeast pulls within a run and had a chance with a runner on base to tie this ball game. And they don't. And then Arkansas at this point kind of puts it away. Four in the seventh and three there in the eighth. They win the game 17-9. There are a lot of people in Arkansas, despite the fact they won this ball game, that are very unsettled about today's performance. And again, this is a one versus four. And again, there is, listen, guys, there is no tomorrow. You know, you've got to worry, do whatever you have to do to win the game today. And that's what Arkansas did. But man, I think it took a bigger toll on them than maybe it should have. And again, you win, but this is not an offense that is capable of working its way back to the loser's bracket, and certainly a pitching staff not. A little bit of an upset in my estimation here. Of course, Alabama was the 2 seed, Central Florida the 3. Kind of, again, a wild game. And you look up and you think, okay, it's going to be okay. And again, I said I wouldn't be surprised if Alabama made that regional down in Florida State interesting. Well, they're going to be playing an elimination game tomorrow. And so Alabama, 3 runs in the first to take a 3-2 lead. And then it just kind of seesaws back and forth. And ultimately, UCF is able to get a bit of a hold there in the middle innings and scores 1 in the 8th and 1 in the 9th. They win the game 8-7. I told you guys at the beginning of the year I thought Alabama was a bit of a fraud. I like that offense, but I'm just not completely sold on that pitching staff. Obviously, you know, Mississippi State won 5-2. And Tennessee had to go the duration with Northern Kentucky. I'm not sure I expected that. A.J. Causey pitched for them. It's really good for them. Kind of getting him going again. 51 wins now for Tennessee, but 9-3 winners. And that's your day in the SEC. Let's look ahead to tomorrow. I guess technically today. It's now June 1st. Not summer yet, but Vanderbilt plays an elimination game against High Point. Alabama will play Stetson in an elimination game, the Hatters. Don't be surprised if the Stetson guys can win that thing. And then you've got the winner's bracket game between LSU and North Carolina. And again, what you saw with LSU today, I think maybe they were looking ahead a little bit. I'm just going to say it. I think that's probably the case. Indiana and Tennessee, that's a winner's bracket game. It'll take place 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central from Lindsey Nelson there in Knoxville. Illinois and Kentucky, a winner's bracket game there. UNC Wilmington winner's bracket game with Georgia. Again, I think Georgia's bracket is a joke. And the fact that they struggled today, I just maybe something was in the air. South Carolina and NC State, I think that could be a great game. I really, really do. I'm eager to see the pitching matchups and how that kind of goes over. And, of course, Mississippi State and Virginia in a winner's bracket game. Florida, Oklahoma State. Florida against the host. I won't be surprised if Florida wins this game. Listen, I get it. Florida's got talent, but they're so streaky, you never know. Kansas State and Louisiana Tech, that game was suspended as the rains fell in the northwest Arkansas area, and that's the last thing that whole neck of the woods needs is more weather. But there's video out there that the Louisiana Tech dugout was flooding. So Kansas State and Louisiana Tech, that game suspended. They're going to resume at 11. And so it's going to be a busy day at the ballpark tomorrow because you're going to have the resumption game, the loser's bracket game, and then at night Arkansas will play in the winner's bracket game. So somebody tomorrow is going to have a lot to deal with. And then Texas and Texas A&M. You like A&M here, but you know, you think Texas is going to get up and play. You do. You think that's the case. I do too. And so that's kind of where things sit right now. And so let's get in our next segment of the show, brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. I love Campus Bookmart. You should too if you don't already. Go by and shop there. I firmly believe in supporting local business and in supporting Starkville business. And you should support local business and small business in your area. But when you think about Mississippi State merchandise and gift ideas and diploma frames, don't think Amazon. Think campusbookmart.net because for them, it's a meal. Right? And that's, we're in this thing together. And so visit Campus Bookmart next time you come to town. I love them. I love Susie. I do. I absolutely love her. She is absolutely great. I love Miss Kathy Brown, the whole group there. But Susie, always service with a smile. Every time I go in there, I get a hug. You may not get a hug, but I always do. And I feel like those people are family to me. And so it's not just because they're an advertiser, and we sold thousands of books through that place. But they're a place that's kind of uniquely Starkville. And so I encourage you, when you get ready to order Mississippi State merchandise, you order it through them. I'm going to give you some incentive to do that. Promo code BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Roberts, and that gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. And you order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. All right, let's take a look a little bit of Virginia here. So I did cover this game with Penn, and I don't know if it's just a bad day. I'm not going to say anything poor about Virginia, because they may come out there tomorrow and just absolutely rake us. They may. They're a very talented team. I just thought that Penn pitching found a way to make pitches. And it's nuts when you look at this ball. When you look at these numbers, how many times did Cole Jafiro from Penn just kind of wiggled off the hook? Virginia could never make him pay. I mean, they go out there and it's a walk, it's a hit by pitch. And then, okay, now it's a three-run jack. Okay, excuse me, leadoff single, then a walk, a three-run jack. And they're off and running, right? You say, okay, Virginia's going to get this thing over and done with. But they don't. Penn comes right back and puts two up in the fourth against Virginia's second-best pitcher. It's true. In the middle innings there, it looked like Virginia was going to have a chance. And every single time, Jafiro either got the ground ball or got the big strikeout. He would work his way into trouble, work his way out. They get one run in the seventh, does Virginia, for a little insurance there. But guys, they had six hits in the game. You know, he's like, oh, our offense. You think Penn's got better pitching than St. John's? I mean, come on. I mean, just think about it from a talent standpoint. I thought Griff O'Farrell was really good for Virginia. He's a guy to really watch. Not only is he a guy that's going to get on base, he's a guy that's going to steal bases for him. He had two of their six hits. He is the only Cavalier that had multiple hits in this ballgame. And again, maybe they got caught looking ahead to us a little bit. I don't know. The Hungate kid was really good. I thought he was probably the best pitcher on the mound for either team. Chase Hungate credited with the save of Josephino, who has been injured much of the year. And I didn't think he was great. I thought he was good the first time through the order, and they kind of got to him sometimes the second time. But he kind of settled down in the middle innings. But one of the things about this offense that I saw is some very, very impatient at-bats for Virginia. It's like there's a difference between being aggressive and being anxious. I thought they looked anxious in this ballgame. And again, maybe it's because you want to go ahead and get this thing over and kind of be thinking about Mississippi State. And I'm sure they were licking their chops when this game went to extra innings. But, they got it done. They know who they're playing. Talked to Coach O'Connor in postgame. And they could say, we've done some advanced scouting. We'll watch this. But the main reason we play the early game is so our guys can put their feet up. You know, they can get some rest. You know, the Bulldogs right now, of course, they're getting some rest too because they know they don't have to play until tonight. However, those folks from St. John's, they had to play an extra inning ball game and then, you know, get back to the hotel, get some dinner, you know, get everybody into bed. You're going to get everybody up early. You're going to have breakfast. You got to go over your scout and things of that nature. And so it's just a very, very tight time constraint for the team that loses the Friday night game, which happened to be St. John's. So, again, I'll be there to cover that game, and we'll do a notebook, kind of let you guys kind of know what's going on. Hopefully, we don't have to play either of these teams ever again. Hopefully. Unless they find a way to unless we beat Virginia, they knock Virginia off. I'm not expecting that. I think we're going to have to beat Virginia twice. I think the winner of the Saturday night game may actually be the championship. I think we're a little bit better equipped to come out of loser's bracket if we needed to, but I don't know what you're going to have left, you know, for a two-game regional final. But I think Virginia's a team that can really ill afford to get into the loser's bracket, because I think if they do a reemerge, that they're not going to have the pitching to beat Mississippi State twice. And so even if State loses tomorrow, I'm not going to count us out, but I'm going to tell you, the road home is a lot more difficult. It truly is, because you're going to have to go out there and spend a pitcher to stave off elimination, and then you have to win two more, right? So we can make life easy on ourselves by winning that game against Virginia. But again, that's just kind of what I observed from from the Friday game against Penn, and again, that's just one day, right? I mean, you can't judge a team by their best and worst day, or even kind of an average day. But I want to again look at this Virginia team real quickly here, and you know, one of the things about this ballpark, it just kind of, it's got that low fence out there, and you'd think they'd hit a bunch of home runs, but the splits for Virginia have actually been pretty even, home and away. So it's not like, you know, some teams out there are kind of built for their ballpark. I don't get the sense that's really the case for Virginia. They're just a good hitting team. And again, pitching has been a real challenge. I mean, it really has been. And it's always so interesting to go on these websites because I don't know what people do with their lives. I really don't. No disrespect to the Cavaliers, but you think that it would be like when you click on stats that you'd be able to get this year's stuff, but the link takes you to the archives. But looking at season statistics here, and this is updated through today, they're 42-15 now, and hitting .339 as a team. So hitting right at .340, despite, you know, there's so much data right now, but you know, six hits on the day doesn't do much to hurt their numbers. But Bobby Whalen, the center fielder, hits a little deeper down in the order, hitting .395, and plays a really good center field. And he's only been a part-time starter. In 53 games, he's contributed, but 38 starts. Henry Godbout, good player, hitting .375. Jacob Ferentz, .361. Case Saki, .359. Henry Ford, .341. You can run the numbers here. Basically, all of the regulars are hitting .300 or better. I don't know that we've seen that. I mean, even with LSU last year, as great as they were, this is a team, this Virginia team can swing the bats, and this is one of the reasons that I think it makes sense to hold Gerangelo for this. Arguably the best hitting team you're going to see, and so you throw your guy with the most dynamic stuff. And again, Cal's a guy that wants to kind of ride and slide, and so against a team like this where you want to elevate, and they want you to elevate because of the fact that, yeah, they're going to swing the bats. You know, they're trying to get some launch angle stuff. Pretty incredible stuff. 114 home runs this year. Hit one today, but 114 home runs, 140 doubles. You can begin to do the math on that. That's 254 extra base hits just between those two categories. You add in those 13 triples, you can kind of see what we're getting out here. About half of their hits, they have 697 hits this year, and not quite half, but probably about 40% of their hits have been for extra bases. And so this is a team that if you allow them that extra base and you don't get in a forced situation, they can move runners around. They do like to run the bases, we discussed before. Guys, they've had 107 stolen base attempts, and they're stealing 83 of those 107. That's big-time numbers. And I think Joe Powell obviously gives you the best chance, but you know, you start thinking about Johnny Long. You know, Johnny has been with Gerangelo much of the year, so that'll be interesting. We got to be good in the running game. And the best way to be good in the running game is to not let them get on base, right? That's the important aspect of that. Don't let them get on base. Don't do it. I think Gerangelo has had some good performances. You know, I think he's due for a really good one. It's the big stage here. And I'm eager to see how he does against these guys, too. Again, I think when you look at the ACC, too, is there really been – you know, we've had some pretty dominant Friday night guys in the SEC this year. I don't know if that's really been the case in the ACC. Let's talk a little about Evan Blanco here. They held him at 3.50 ERA and 7-3 on the year. He has five no decisions. 79.2 innings pitch, which is easily the most on this team. 81 hits, so he's given up over a hit per. Strikeout ratio 79-24. You know, so we're right there at 3-1. Nine home runs, and then opponents are hitting .261 against him. And so we ought to be able to hit the baseball a little bit here too, but we need to bunch things together. We need to have the big inning, right? And we need to get into that bullpen a little bit. And you know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, the starting pitching for them hasn't been great. So they have been able to kind of fashion a bullpen. We talked about Chase Hungate. Chase said he could go tomorrow if he has to. Chase is 7-1 on the year, has 27 appearances. Angelo Tonis, 29 appearances on the year. Ryan Asinski, 27 appearances on the year. So they have had to kind of push this bullpen into service because they just haven't been able to settle and get quality starting pitching. And I think these guys feel better about this bullpen than they do their starters. Kind of like we did a couple years ago, too. It's like, hey, if we could get through, you know, five innings with a starter and turn the thing over to the bullpen, we feel good. That's kind of the sense talking to the Arkansas people. That's kind of, excuse me, the Virginia people. That's kind of how they feel, too. It's like, you know, hey, if we can just kind of manage the game enough and kind of be within a run or two or be even in the ball game, or we have to pull the starter, we feel like the bullpen can kind of get us a hold and keep us in a game until the offense kind of puts things away. And again, the numbers for this offense are incredible. So we're going to need a really, really strong effort from Gerangelo. And they're going to, what they've done this year is kind of dependent on their offense because of the fact that you know, pitching has been a real question mark. And that's the thing with O'Connor. I mean, that's been his pedigree. You know, that's been the deal. Think about that 2021 team that we played in Omaha, even with Griff McGarry. You know, he was a guy that had kind of struggled a little bit and kind of found it late. But you know, the thing about this run stuff, this is the thing that when you get all these guys up here that are so intent on playing for each other and just playing for a cause, you score a bunch of runs because nobody's trying to be the hero. Guys, Virginia is sixth in the country in runs scored. Did you know that? You know who's number one, by the way? It's Austin Peay. That's true. It's crazy. Their season's over. They lead the nation with 608 runs scored. That's a gaudy statistic. But Virginia, sixth in the country, just behind Northern Kentucky and just behind Tennessee. Tennessee right there, 553 and fourth. And so you're going to, you know, they're going to score some runs, and we've got to find a way to kind of shut those guys down. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and kind of take a little bit of an overview of the Virginia schedule, kind of how they got here, and see if we have comparable opponents. And then we'll get ready and go to bed and go do all this thing over again tomorrow. All right, let's take a look now at the schedule. This segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just Google. It's your friend. Even though they're a corporate sellout these days, you can Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and then their Facebook page will auto-populate for you. And you can peruse those pictures and see the fine amenities that are available to you when you utilize the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Is basically your home base in Starkville. Yeah, whether it's a work group you bring into town, whether it's a ball game weekend deal for you, maybe it's a family deal, maybe it's a staycation, girls' weekend, guys' weekend, couples' weekend, plenty of room to spread out there. You got the fire pit. You're just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. You can do all your cooking and eating there, save you some cleanup time later. There's a wet bar there. It's an incredible place to stay. Check it out today, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, when you Google, you're going to have some booking options pop up, right? You can have Airbnb, VRBO. If that's the way you want to go, cool. But if you want to save some money, you go to the Evolve website, use promo code BSR10, and I'm going to save you 10% off your stay just because I love you that much. I do. I love you. I really do. And I want you to have a good time when you come to Starkville. No better place to stay in the Golden Triangle than the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. All right, let's look at this Virginia schedule. They open up with you know, a sweep of Hofstra. You know, you just kind of get your legs under you a little bit. A lot of people talk about, well, you know, Steve, I mean, come on, we didn't play a great non-conference schedule. Well, you know, looking at this, they had a couple games with ODU scheduled. One got postponed. They win the one game they play. They knock off Wichita State. They were a sub-100 team. They get Iowa 12-9 at the time. People had big hopes for Iowa. They were ranked 18th in the country. They get them 12-9. They get Auburn down in Jacksonville as part of that Jacks College Baseball Classic. They sweep through that. Postponed the game with VMI, then they win 16-4. They outlast UMass 4-3 and then lose the middle game 10-5. Bounce back to take the series 10-6. Penn State, that's a winner for you, 6-3. George Washington, that was a gaudy game, 26-2 at George Washington. Miami was, there were big things expected of Miami, didn't work out that way, but they took 2 of 3. They did the Hurricanes, 2 of 3 from Virginia. Down in Coral Gables, Virginia rallies to avoid the sweep on Sunday, 14-11. So you give up a lot of runs here. And again, I think that's really the story is Virginia, offensively, they have been so elite, even when pitching hadn't been there. They've been still able to be competitive in these games. They beat Bill and Mary 6-2, and then they get into ACC play. they take on Wake Forest and take 2 of 3 at home here in Charlottesville. The final game went 10 innings. Virginia walks it off 11-10. So it's a big win, and it's a big loss for Virginia, for Wake Forest. Probably cost them the chance to host, but they're in that East Carolina regional, so we feel like they got a chance to win that thing. They should. Virginia then beats Georgetown 15-6, and then it's a 3-game series against Pitt. That's an ACC series. They take all 3 of those games. They knock off Richmond, the Spiders, and then they lose 2 of 3 in Durham to Duke. They win that middle game, but they lose those games. And again, that's one of the things that kind of gives me hope about the weekend. At some point, the depth of that pitching staff is going to be really challenged. They do have the makeup game with ODU. They win that game. And then they get 2 out of 3 against North Carolina in Charlottesville. That's a really big win for them. And we'll see how big that is when LSU gets a hold of North Carolina tomorrow. But whenever VCU, Towson State game gets canceled, they get back in the ACC play, take 2 out of 3 at Louisville. They lose at Old Dominion 7-4 in a midweek game, bounce back the next day to beat George Mason, and then it's a Georgia Tech series, and they lose 2 out of 3 to Georgia Tech. And Georgia Tech's a 3 seed in the Georgia regional. It's just kind of a wild thing. That happened at home, too. And again, a lot of runs scored. They give up 13 in one game, 7 in another. That's 20 runs, and then they lose 17-12. So they give up 37 runs. That's brutal. They knock off Liberty. Then they get Boston College to come in. They lose the opener and then win the final 2 to take 2 out of 3 up in Brighton, Mass. Knock off VCU again. Then they get Navy, mercy rule those guys, mercy rule George Washington. And then it's NC State. They lose 2 out of 3 to NC State at home. And again, a bunch of runs scored. You know, not 37, but it's still a ton. They get Virginia Tech. That's their big rival. They sweep that series and walk it off in 13 innings on day 3, 10-9. Then they get into the ACC baseball tournament. They beat Georgia Tech and then lose to Florida State. And then here we are in the Charlottesville region. Of course, they win 4-2. And so, you know, I look at this and I think, you know, this is not a Virginia team. They're not a very strong regional host. You know what I'm saying? It's like when the thing popped up and, you know, they were not excited about us coming here because they felt like we should have hosted and being around the ballpark. A lot of people have shared that. You know, it's like, hey, we kind of feel like we got a raw deal getting Mississippi State in here. We feel like Mississippi State should have been hosting over some of these teams that are losing the 4 seeds, like East Carolina. And I'm really, really, really rooting hard against those guys tomorrow. Really rooting hard against. I don't want them to win. I don't know if I ever want them to win again. I'm bitter about this. I really am. But it's an exciting day of baseball. And, of course, it'll all get started as the Bulldogs will watch this whole thing with Penn and St. John's, and then the Bulldogs will play at 5 p.m. Central against Virginia. So be tuned in for that. Of course, this is now June 1st, and so it's a new month for us. It's a new season for us. And if we win this game, I think the regional is ours. We still may be able to get it done if we go to loser's bracket, but, man, it would make life so much easier if Gerangelo goes up there and shoves and maybe gives us 7, and you're able to get some separation in that game. And I do think State is going to win this ball game. I think that it's one of those deals you look at and you start thinking, okay, you know, who's the better team? I know we're playing at home, at their home, but I think we are the better team. That's just my feeling about it. Maybe you guys feel differently. I think we're the better team, and I think they know it. I truly do. I think they know that we are the better team, which is one of the reasons they're really kind of upset that we're here. And so for all you Bulldogs who turned out tonight, thank you for your support. Some of you even got a free Mississippi State pin from me. I mean, that's a, you know, a pin that goes on your shirt, not one you write with. But we're out of those, but just wanted to be able to help you guys. You know, I had a friend of mine that sent them to me and said, hey, while you're up there, why don't you give some Bulldogs some of these pins? And we did. So real quickly here, looking at Evan Blanco, and, you know, we'll see how things go. But he goes 7 1/3 for a season high against Virginia Tech, and that just happened about 2 weeks ago. He was 1-0 last year and 7-3 this year, and pitched in 24 games last year basically as a reliever. Did not become a starter until this year. Every appearance this year has been a start. 9 home runs allowed. We'll see what that kind of proves to be. But, you know, this is a guy, too. You start looking at the numbers here. He's won 3 of his last 4 starts. And you go a little bit deeper, it's 3 of the last 6. Loses to Georgia Tech. Got shelled in that game. Loses to Boston College. They lose 8-2 in that ball game. He beats Navy. Loses to NC State. Beats Virginia Tech and beats Georgia Tech. And so, again, you look at the elite teams that they played, or the teams that are expected to be really good. He has had a tough time getting those teams out. Of course, got the big win over North Carolina, but this is a guy that normally works 6 or 7 innings. And since he only used 2 pitchers yesterday, pretty much got everybody available. You know, had a short outing against NC State, just 4 2/3 of an inning. So we got to go out here and make this guy uncomfortable. And the way to do that, of course, is to get runners on base and get some timely hits. But so the plan is I'll be back with you tomorrow night. Hopefully we're talking about another Bulldog win and kind of talking about us being in control of this thing. But I'm excited, as many of you are. If you've got tickets, we look forward to seeing you out here. We'll be out kind of milling around a little bit, saying hello to people. I love being able to do road baseball because there's so many fans that can't make it to Starkville, and it gives us a chance to kind of be together and kind of enjoy the Mississippi State sporting experience. If you hadn't done so, go to winthebottomfalls.com, and I'm going to go ahead and say this again, too. The limited editions of the Dude book, there's only going to be about 200. We expect those to be sold out the first day or second day. That's one of the things that we've got to figure out, too. How can I stop somebody from buying a bunch of them? You know, one guy buying 20, right? I don't know that we can. It's a free market enterprise in that respect. But all my sports titles are there. That's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dog Pile. And every Bulldog deserves Dog Pile. And then, of course, the Dude will be out very, very soon. And we hope to have that up and running for you here the next week or so. I have some things that I've got to get to them to kind of get that finalized. But, you know, this comes first. But got to get back and get that thing roughed out. And, of course, if you're looking, you know, to relax yourself, come to True Rest. Had a huge day today. A lot of Bulldogs back home saying, you know what, Steve, I'm just kind of getting stressed. Let us help you with that, kind of alleviate some stress, some chronic pain. Come be a part of our True Rest experience. You can speak to my lovely wife, Dana, at 662-268-7601, or you can download the True Rest app and just book online. You don't have to talk to anybody. If you need more information, call Dana or visit truerest.com. Let's get out of here. I'm going to get into bed, and we'll see you guys again tomorrow. Look for full coverage over at jeanspage.com. Nobody's going to cover this regional quite like we are. We'll have some stories lined up for you in the morning. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery. So you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.